Good afternoon and welcome to Interviews. I am Kimberly Rose and you're listening to BBSRadio.com. Today, I'm really excited. We've got a special guest that will be coming up in about 5 minutes. We've got an author, David Harrison. He is the author of The Genesis of Freemasonry. He's researched the complex and hidden history of the English Freemasonry and currently lectures at the University of Liverpool. He's written a history of Freemasonry for a number of magazines and journals, and I will say, got the book here, and very detailed, very good, and somehow, I think it's on purpose that I've connected with him, in that I have had many questions about this, and my family, just different things in my family where the Freemasons have come up. If you have any questions for him, you will be able to call 888-815-9756. We're not going to be doing readings, and maybe the last 10 minutes of the show we'll be doing readings because we are going to be talking about this wonderful topic. And I really think a lot of it has to do with energy and things that are going on nowadays. If you'd like to get a hold of me for a reading, you can go to my website, which is kimmyrose.com. And you can also go and just call my store, and that is Light the Way, 734-854-1514. We do have several intuitives. My mom, Carolyn Rose, is also there, and I just cannot stress to you the wonderful people over there. You can give a call again, 734-854-1514 is the number. And coming up in a few minutes, again, we have author David Harrison, who is the author of The Genesis of Freemasonry. And it's a wonderful book, and I will tell you it is well written. And if you're wanting to know about the history of it, it's a wonderful book that really, really gets into detail. And I've had a lot of people that have asked me about Freemasonry, being, friends. And I will tell you, in all honesty, it freaks me out a little bit. I think probably maybe there's some past life connection to it where I'm not completely sure, you know, how I feel about it. So I'm excited to talk to him and get details on it. I also want to talk about some exciting guests that we do have coming up on the show. We have Marguerite Manning coming up and Deborah Clement. If you're wanting to get your astrology done, just they're amazing, very, very detailed and very soul heart-filled people. And I cannot stress to you how much both of them have helped me in my life and helped to guide me. The other thing I wanted to mention is that if you are interested in a new technique that I've been practicing is CCT, which is the Crystalline Consciousness Technique. It's a wonderful way to open up your intuition and and it's a wonderful way to release the distorted patterns that you hold in your life. And when we let go and we allow the distortions to lift up and out, we open up to the unlimited ability that we have to connect energetically with our pureness. That's Crystalline Consciousness. And if you go to my website, you can read more about it. There are practitioners all around the world that have been trained, that can work with you. I do phone sessions, and I also do in-person sessions. I'm going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our guest with us, and we're going to be talking about a topic about Freemasonry. We'll have David Harrison on with us all the way from overseas. So I feel very blessed that he's taken the time to get up and connect with us today from Liverpool. We'll be right back. I am Kimberly Rose, and you're listening to Interviews. Hi, this is Kimberly Rose. Listen weekly to my show, Interviews. We're now syndicated, so you can hear us all over the world on different stations. Go to KimmyRose.com to find out more information and how to tune in weekly. Also, if you're wanting to connect, you want to get advice,
Whether it be from a life coach or an intuitive, we have the best people. They are handpicked from all over the world. Go to KimmyRose.com and click on Kimmy and Friends. Right there, you'll be able to get a free reading and connect with some of the greatest readers around the world. You can also call 734-854-1514 to connect with these amazing people. You can also connect with me by calling that number. Again, that's KimmyRose.com. Take time to manifest change in your life. Remember, it's all about what's within you.
Welcome back to Interviews. I am Kimberly Rose, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com. Right now, without further ado, I'm really excited to introduce to everyone an amazing man, amazing author, David Harrison. He is calling all the way from Liverpool, and he wrote a book, The Genesis of Freemasonry. David is an amazing, when I say amazing man, he's done a lot of research on the complex and hidden history of the English Freemasonry. He currently lectures at the University of Liverpool, and he's written a lot for several magazines and journals. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, great to meet you.
David, I'm going to start out. I know we were off the air talking a little bit about, you know, Freemasonry and how my feelings and some of the emotions that when you hear Freemason or you hear Illuminati or you hear different things, that maybe there could be some misconceptions or judgment. I'm curious to how you got interested in the Freemasons.
Well, it's a long story, really. The book that you've got there is actually my PhD. And when you get asked to do a PhD, you've got to do something that no one's ever done before, really. It's got to be fresh research. And I started that around about 2000, 10 years ago. And I just kind of stumbled upon it, really. And the university liked it. It was done at the University of Liverpool, and they'd never heard of an in-depth study before of English Freemasonry. And they just liked it and said, let's go ahead with it. And so it just went on from there, really.
So, you know, do you find that as you were researching it that you got that more that you were learning a lot, and do you find that some of the views of Freemasonry has it been changed from when it originally? And tell us about how it was founded, about, you know, like, and how it's changed throughout the years.
Yeah, well, it's just been a society that's really kind of developed and transformed itself really over the centuries, and it first began really. It kind of emerged from the Stonemasons guilds that were dotted around Europe, England really. For some reason it became really fashionable in England, probably during the Civil War period in the 1640s, where you had Oliver Cromwell and King Charles on the other side. And Freemasonry, there's evidence to suggest that Freemasonry was used as a bridge, really, to bring together people from opposing sides. And, you know, so it was a space, a sacred space, really, where they could come and talk. And because one of the rules about Freemasonry is that you're not allowed to talk about politics or religion in the lodge. So this was obviously something that was going on then and made it popular for a meeting place, really, for these people. And there's a guy called Elias Ashmole, who was a royalist officer. He was into alchemy and all kinds of things as well. But he attended a lodge in Warrington, which is in the northwest of England, just about 50 miles away from Liverpool, really. And in that lodge meeting, there was also a parliamentarian, someone from the from Cromwell's side. So there's evidence to show that these two people, even though they probably knew each other anyway through family, it was quite strange that you get these you know, kind of opposing sides going on. Two strong people with opposing political views in the same place. So there's evidence that it was, you know, used for that at that particular time. And I think that kind of propelled it forward and made it more interesting for people. And it became more popular. And by 1717, because of the building of St. Paul's Cathedral in London by Sir Christopher Wren, who was also a Freemason, it just escalated and became really popular. So it's undergone, you know, a few changes throughout history, really.
So when you talk about Freemasonry and you know its original intention, I've heard that there's a historical, it goes all the way back to St. Paul's Cathedral, and there's a connection to King Solomon's Temple. I know that there's a lot of things that are very secret and very quiet, but can you tell us a little bit about the mysteries and the connection to this?
Yeah, I mean, the St. Paul's Cathedral, when that was being built in the later 1600s, Sir Christopher Wren, he was basically inspired by all this classical architecture, this ancient architecture, that was based on Solomon's Temple. There's architects such as Palladio, who was from Italy when the Renaissance was happening in the 1500s there. And his work inspired a lot of English architects and builders such as Nigel Jones and Sir Christopher Wren, Hawksmoor. All these architects were inspired by classical architecture, Solomon's Temple. And Solomon's Temple was supposed to be a building, a sacred building, that is mentioned in the Bible, and its measurements are mentioned in the Bible. And within those measurements, they're sacred, divine. So in the building of Solomon's Temple, it actually captured the essence of the universe within architecture. So this obviously inspired a lot of people. And in the 1600s, you get people like Sir Christopher Wren, Sir Isaac Newton, who are intent on cracking this code, finding out the true dimensions of Solomon's Temple. And, of course, Freemasonry, when that developed, became a celebration of Solomon's Temple. The whole ritual is about the building of Solomon's Temple and how the lodge is a representation of Solomon's Temple. So, again, we've got this divine measurement, the belief in the divine measurement and the divine building. And this building embodies God, basically, embodies the universe. So this kind of crosses over, you know, to all the modern thinking that was going on at the time. And the belief of Wren, he built St. Paul's Cathedral. And even later on in the 19th century, this connection was still there because some archaeologists supposedly found some stones from Solomon's Temple and in Jerusalem, and took them to London and embedded them into part of a wall in St. Paul's. So, you know, that belief was still there. And indeed, there's been a lot of other Masonic connections throughout history, you know, with St. Paul's.
So when you're talking about that, and you're talking about Solomon's Temple, and I think often of, you know, God, you know, that living your life, and I know that when I think of Freemasonry, a lot of symbols come into my head. I see a lot of sacred geometry and energy, because if you look at the architecture and a lot of the buildings, and even here in Toledo, I've looked at the Masonic Temple, and there's a lot of very similar architecture that I can tie in even back to some of the things Edgar Cayce talked about. I'm wondering, do you feel it's a good thing, or do you think it's like everybody else, everybody talks about the conspiracy around it?
Yeah, I think we've got conspiracy theories. I mean, what these suggest really in today's world is that people have a mistrust of government, really. And that's what conspiracy theories are all about. You know, government's up to dodgy things, and, you know, be it the assassination of JFK or, you know, whatever, you know, new global order or whatever. But conspiracy theories connected to Freemasonry go back throughout history. Like, for example, in New York in the 1820s, there was the Morgan Affair, where William Morgan, you've probably come across this yourself in some research, maybe, but there was a guy called William Morgan that got rejected from a lodge in Batavia in New York, and he then said, "Oh, I'm going to reveal all his secrets. I'm going to do a book, an expose of the ritual," and then he mysteriously disappeared, and it was said that he was murdered, and, you know, by Freemasons, and there was this anti-Masonic political party that went against Andrew Jackson, and in the I think it was the 1828 election. And so there's always been conspiracy theories attached to Freemasonry. And again, you know, in the 18th century in England, there's evidence to suggest that there's actually recorded statements where people think that, you know, these Masons are meeting in villages, and, you know, they must be raising the devil or doing witchcraft or something. So, there's always been conspiracies, and I think that's because of the secrecy, really. You know, it's because, you know, behind these closed doors, there's all these men that gather, sometimes on a night of a full moon, by tradition, and, you know, they're kind of up to something behind closed doors, and sometimes these men happen to be quite powerful men, you know, be it politically or industrially or something. So I think it's always attracted, you know, the conspiracy. And I think that's something that gives it intrigue as well. You know, I think a lot of Freemasons during the, you know, the years have actually played up to that, you know. We know something that you don't, you know. But I think, you know, the conspiracy theorists today, it's all about mistrusting government and authority. And especially in England, Freemasons are very close to, not so much the government anymore, but towards the establishment in England. Like, for example, the Grand Master is the Duke of Kent, and there's a couple of other royals involved, and there's still members of the aristocracy involved, you know. So I think for that reason, people can distrust it and get suspicious about it.
You know, and in like with anything, I think that when we don't understand it, we have a tendency to, it can be destructive, you know, it can be very destructive. And we got to go up to a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to ask you probably the most famous question you get from women that interview you is, why aren't women, why aren't women allowed to be part of this? And we got to go to a quick break. When we come back, I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about that.
Great,
So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we've got David Harrison on with us. He is the author of The Genesis of Freemasonry. It's an awesome book. You can get it by going to, I know you can get it online. You can also, David, where else? Do you have a specific publisher? Would you say to just go through the web to get it?
Yeah, I mean, it's available in all good book outlets. It's, you know, Amazon. And the usual place, the usual places, Barnes & Noble and Borders. LewisMasonic.com, they're the publishers. But yeah, it's available at a wide range of sources, really.
Okay, so I just if you want to pick it up, of course Amazon is a great place to get it. And go ahead and go to the web. It's called The Genesis of Freemasonry. We'll be right back. You're listening to Interviews, and I am Kimberly Rose.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Rose with Interviews. If you'd like to get a hold of me for a reading or check out my online classes, go to my website at kimmyrose.com. You can also call me at my store at 734-854-1514. While you're at the website, check out some of the great things that we have for sale. That's kimmyrose.com. I'm Kimberly Rose with Interviews. Join me on Saturday, April 10th and Sunday, April 11th of 2010 for the Toledo Body, Mind, and Spirit Festival. There'll be free admission, free parking, lectures, and classes both days. We'll have exhibitors from all over the United States. You can go to ToledoBodyMindSpiritFestival.com for more information. If you want to be an exhibitor, a speaker, fill out the application there. That's the Toledo Body, Mind, and Spirit Festival on April 10th.
Welcome back to Interviews. I am Kimberly Rose, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com. We're really happy that you joined us today on Interviews every week from 4 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. The number to call in is 888-815-9756. If you'd like to call to get a session, you can actually go to KimmyRose.com to get more information. Right now, we are very blessed to be talking to David Harrison. He is the author of The Genesis of Freemasonry. He's an amazing author. I will tell you, this book is well-written, has a lot of information that are backed up by fact and truth, and that's what I like. It's not all a lot of books you read, there's a lot of conspiracy, a lot of things that you're not sure of. Okay, well, do I believe this? What do I, you know, he's got the facts, and that's what I really like about the book. And before the break, David, I was kind of posing the question that I'm sure you hear a lot of, and that question was why are women not involved, or why can't they be members? I know they're involved, but why can't they be members?
Yeah, well, there is of course like women's Freemasonry groups, and there's Co-Masonry, which is an organization which allows both men and women, but these are spread around the world, but a lot of these aren't recognized by, the main Grand Lodges, the United Grand Lodge of England, for example, and other Grand Lodges that follow that kind of traditional path where it's male only. And, I for one, would like to see the official Freemasonry, if you like, to be opened up to women members. In England, they've been kind of the Freemasonry lodges have been suffering, of late. I think over the past 20 years or so, there's been like a decrease in new members, and there's been a lot of lodges that have closed and reduced membership. And in many publications, you hear that. The Freemasons bemoaning, saying, the Freemasonry is going down the hill, and we can't get these new members in. But since publishing my book, I've just constantly had women kind of email messaging on Facebook, for example, where they've got a fan page for the book. Women are really interested in Freemasonry and, would love to join. One of the big questions that I get asked all the time is, why can't women join? Where could I get information from? And I think what we've done about before, Kimberly, about Freemasonry changing over the centuries, there's no reason now why Freemasonry couldn't change and open up to women members. And I feel that would really give Freemasonry a boost. It would double the amount of lodges that are around and make it really popular again, and I suppose it would stop a lot of the conspiracy theories and the the secrecy that surrounds Freemasonry. I think it'd really do it a lot of good, and I think women can bring a lot of positive aspects to Freemasonry as well.
And I will thank, and I'm gonna, a lot of, some women may be out there kind of rolling their eyes at me when I say this, but I feel like they're just with talking to a friend of mine whose father was in the Freemasons, that she said that, women do have an involvement, and I always believe that behind every man, really strong man, is a good woman, and I'm wondering if there is a connection, though, that you know, the women do play a role in a different way, or maybe that, you know, because I see that there are different levels, you know, different levels that you go through to become a Mason. Maybe in some way women are already connected to that.
Yeah, I mean, most lodges, you know, do have ladies' evenings and events where, you know, the Freemason can bring along his wife or partner or whatever. So yeah, you know, there's that kind of role that goes on. So suppose like the traditionalist argument would be, well, you know, women have a role anyway, and you know, but then again, there's, you know, there's a lot of young women that are, you know, really interested in Freemasonry and want to become a part of it, and so yeah, you know, there's always two sides to an argument, you know. I suppose like what many Freemasons say, you know, is that, well, you know, it's tradition that it's all male and it's a male society, and but in England as well, in London, there's always been a lot of gentlemen's clubs that have existed since the 18th century, you know, the 17th century even, and like the Carlton Club or Brooks's, or, you know, these gentlemen's clubs that are linked to, you know, the powerful political side of things in England. And it's only recently that a lot of these have actually began to accept women members in as well, you know. So things can change, you know. You know, these gentlemen clubs have recently changed, accepted women members. You know, I think Freemasonry in the future will probably do the same, you know. I think it will go in that direction itself.
You know, it's interesting because you know, and if you look and you kind of go back in time and you look at Freemasonry and you look at the they talk about Christianity, and you just see all, you know, I've seen, you know, you see movies, you talk about, you know, Dan Brown and you know, they're just different movies that you see that they say, oh, these are connected. I'm wondering, is there any connection to the Knights Templar that through your research that you've seen?
Well, the Knights Templar was being an academic and being someone that lectures, you know, various universities, and I've actually met a lot of people that have studied the Knights Templar academically, and they basically say that there's no connection, you know. And I've actually looked at it myself, and the Knights Templar were basically medieval monks that were partly soldiers as well. You know, they used to guide people, protect people on the way to the Holy Land, so they could make pilgrimage. That was the main job of the Knights Templar. And you know, they saw action in the Crusades, and they managed to get a lot of land as well. You know, they had a lot of support from various kings and princes, and they accumulated a lot of money, a lot of land, and this basically made the French King Philip jealous, I think, at the end. In the early 1300s, he basically saw an opportunity to get their land off them, basically, and their money. And that's how the Knights Templar came to an end. And there's no connection historically, there's no evidence at all that links the Knights Templar to Freemasonry. There's been a lot of speculative, sensationalist books over the past 20, 30 years that have actually, you know, stated that, you know, the Knights Templar went to Scotland and you know, were kind of given protection by various kind of Scottish kings or noble families, and that kind of transmuted into Freemasonry. But there's no evidence for that at all. There is in fact an excellent book that's been written by a colleague of mine called Robert Cooper, and it's called The Rosaline Hoax. And he outlines in that book how, you know, there's no connection between the Knights Templar or Freemasonry at all. And, you know, the research has been done and there's nothing to join them together. So, but indeed the Freemasons today, well, since the 18th century have had a side order, which is called a Knights Templar degree. So, which celebrates, you know, the, probably the Knights Templar, their involvement in the Crusades and the association with Solomon's Temple and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's all a celebration, really. But there's no evidence at all.
It's interesting, and we have a caller on the line that would like to ask you a question, and I want to talk a little bit more about that with Solomon's Temple and then different ranks. So, but we're gonna bring Dawn from Cleveland on. She's on line one. Hi, Dawn. Welcome to Interviews.
Hi, Kimmy. It's so nice to be on.
Thank you. And did you have a question, Dawn?
Not specifically. I guess I just in general want to share. I know personally my entire family has been involved with the Masons and myself included with some of the youth groups. And I always find it fascinating. I know the world, you know, this is such an interesting program, you know, going deep into the history of the Masons and the Knights Templar and everything else. I'm just going to say, I guess my view of current day Masons is just this wonderful family group that, you know, of good-hearted men who share a love of charity and a passion for being good fathers and good husbands. And I would say it just seems so different. I just it's just interesting. I wanted to explore, maybe bring up the discussion of this rich, deep, secretive history that the Masons share, and really what I feel modern-day Masons are about, making a life, difference in the lives of burned children, or all this charity work and all this, you know, again, scholarships and molding people to really good quality citizens. Kind of thought.
That's and do you find? I mean, have you found that David, that really it's about community and about charity?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Freemasons, no matter what country you're in, yeah, there's a lot of kind of movement towards charity and brotherly love, and you know, that's the basis of Freemasonry, you know, as a brotherhood, really. You know, I suppose it's got a bit of a friendly society aspect to it, benevolent aspect to it, so it's about kind of in the second book, actually. And I've just finished up a second book, and that goes into depth about that, how in the 19th century a lot of these local lodges supported their local community and, you know, donated funds for colleges and schools and churches, that kind of thing, you know, so the local community could develop a bit of a cultural identity, you know, through education and looking after, you know, kind of people that were, you know, that were ill, not just the, you know, the brethren themselves, but also of that community. So, yeah, I was going to, you know, a connection to local charity and education, especially, you know.
So, Don, when you know, the two of you, like, this is amazing. You know, there are different ranks. And Don, if you don't mind, if you could stand for just a minute, I wanted to know, David, are there, I mean, the different degrees that you get to? I've always questioned the Masonry a little bit in that, you know, the ritualistic part of it, of going through certain things and the secrecy, and I've questioned, because a lot of my intuition tells me that this is something we already have within us. What is the purpose of it? What is the purpose of going through all the different degrees?
Yeah, well, the degree system, the ritual, it's very, very fascinating, very, very complex as well. I mean, the three-degree ritual that's most common, the craft ritual, is really the basis of Freemasonry, and it's about like an educational journey. And those 3 degrees, you know, you kind of learn about the building of Solomon's Temple and why those secrets were kept and who was behind it and all that kind of stuff. You know, really interesting kind of ritual that reaches out, you know, to different topics, really. And there's all kinds of themes in there, like, the education as well. There's a theme of the cycle of life, in a way, you know, death and rebirth, you know. So there's all that kind of stuff going on. But in other Masonic organizations, like the Scottish Rite, for example, which is in the United States, there's a southern jurisdiction and the northern jurisdiction. They have 33 degrees, and you kind of go through the degrees again, like an educational journey, learning about things, all these morals that are embedded in the symbolism and in the architecture, and so it's like an amazing kind of enlightened journey, you know, that the Mason goes on. So there's a lot to get out from that, really. You know, you can learn about yourself, and it's all about kind of being good, really. You know, that's probably the best way I can put it. You know, being good so I can do good to others. You know.
That makes it makes a lot of sense in that. And Don, you're talking about your dad and how it's helped you. So you both would agree that you think that it's more about family and community than it is control.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'd say that. I mean, the conspiracy theorists. If they got one on the phone now, they'd probably argue, oh, you know, but what about such and such a president and the King of England, such and such a date or whatever. But Freemasonry it's always attracted, the powerful anyway, you know, throughout history. And there's good and bad everywhere, really, you know, in any community, in any organization, in any establishment. Historically, there's always been good and there's always been bad, and there always will be, you know. And I think even Freemasonry has attracted over the years, the centuries, if you like, that's also attracted bad people, you know, possibly still does, you know. And I think all it takes is probably, you know, some incident or some affair or something that's going on that catches the public imagination. And, this is, like, great for conspiracy theorists, really. It's just one of those things. It's just the nature of being human, really, you know.
Yeah, and Don, you agree with that also, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I guess I can't speak for what either the Masons in certain pockets of society or the Masons of past have done, but I know my entire life growing up with it, you know, again, it was just a big fraternity, and they all took the rituals and the history. I mean, really, to me, it always seemed like a rich preservation of this wonderful, you know, history of God and these beautiful lessons. But at the root of it, they just really wanted to share with their families and help each other in their businesses and to do a lot of wonderful charity work. And I know personally it helped me. You know, I became a public speaker through it and was very confident, got lots of nice scholarships. So, sure, I think anyone in the past could, you know, or anyone could use it for evil or do something they want to, but my experience here in Ohio with the modern-day Masons is just a really good group of guys who all share those same family values.
And that's what I think is important. It's about values, and it's also about, like what you were both talking about, not taking, I think you can take anything to an extreme, and it can... And it could go crazy. So, Dawn, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for letting me on. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye. And right now, if anybody's just tuning in, we have David Harrison. He is the author of The Genesis of Freemasonry. You can get that at Amazon. And, David, is there a website that people can go to?
They can go to the Lewis Masonic website, www.lewismasonic.com. To find out more information on the book, and I think you can actually purchase the book from there as well, direct. And you can, for those listeners that go onto Facebook, there's a fan page for the book on Facebook, which is really popular. Loads of Masons from around the world. It's been amazing, really. I think there's over 2,000 fans on there now, and it's like a community of Freemasons from all over the world, you know, kind of interconnecting and things like that to different things, which is great. So, you know, people can check out that as well. And there's always, you know, up-to-date information on the book posted on there. And I'm also on Twitter as well. So there's always up-to-date news on there as well, you know, concerning the book and talks that I do and things like that. So, you know, it's all over the web at the moment. So, yeah, that's good.
So if anybody's interested in the Freemasons or, you know, getting involved, is this something that they need to be invited to do, or is this something you could just call them up and call and say, hey, I'd like to become a Freemason?
You know, most websites now, most lodges or even grand lodges, you know, I think it's state by state that, you know, where they have the grand lodges or individual lodges. People can ask questions, and you know, there's always like a button to click on, you know, if I'm interested in becoming a mason or something. I think with Freemasonry, it's like any kind of society or any club. You know, you kind of only join because you know you want to, and you've got friends in there anyway. You know, I suppose in a way it's like a group of people that go out round town on a Saturday night, and you know, you'd only join them if you knew them, you know, so you could get on with them and, you know, have something in common with them. So I suppose really it's kind of, you know, to join, you probably need to know someone there anyway, you know. You know, so you can be talking to someone on the same level, really. That's probably why that's the only way in, really, if there's like, you've got to be proposed, and there's got to be a second proposer. So, you know, people know about you, and you know about them, really. You know, so you've already got that connection, you know.
And so that, like anyone, it's not necessarily when we hear about favoritism or things like that. It's kind of like, it's funny. I remember joining Brownies and you know, I had friends that never joined Brownies or Girl Scouts, but I joined it because my friends were in it. So I liked it, and I learned a lot from it.
That's a good parallel, really, Freemason, a bit like the Brownies. Yeah, it's a good parallel, really.
So there could be a lot of misconceptions about it also, and that's, you know, and this is really, I'm really excited to talk to you only because, you know, I've also had some, you know, just things that I've questioned and wondered about, and, you know, we got to take a quick break, and I've really made our breaks, our commercials short, because I want to get in as much time with you as possible. Your book is wonderful. This is David Harrison on the phone with us, The Genesis of Freemasonry, a wonderful book. It has the facts and the truth in it. And make sure if you want to pick it up, you can go to Amazon and pick it up. We're going to take a quick break. I am Kimberly Rose, and you're listening to Interviews on BBS Radio.
Do you want to lose weight? Stop smoking? Connect with your higher self. Are you trying to get pregnant? If you're interested in any of these things, go to KimmyRose.com and check out our wide variety of hypnosis CDs. We've got testimonials on the website. Change your life, change your mind with our hypnosis CDs. That's at KimmyRose.com. Hi, this is Kimberly Rose from Interviews. If you want to change your life and you want to develop your intuition, check out my new book, Wake Up Your Intuition. You'll be able to connect with mediumship. You'll even learn a little bit about numerology. It's all about what's within you. Remember, anyone can connect simply by practicing. Check out Wake Up Your Intuition by going to KimmyRose.com.
Welcome back to interviews. I am Kimberly Rose. You're listening to bbsradio.com. If you'd like to check out my website, you can go over to kimmyrose.com, and you can see the different guests that will be on the show, and also to contact me. Contact information is there. I'm going to be in New York in a few months, and also the different places I'll be speaking. Tomorrow night at Light the Way in Toledo, I'm going to be doing a session where I'm going to be connecting with the other side. The number to get your tickets is 734-854-1514. And right now we're very blessed to be joined by David Harrison. He is the author of The Genesis of Freemasonry. And David is, he's a wonderful author. He's talking, he lectures at University of Liverpool, and he's really researched the complex and hidden history of the English Freemasonry. And he's, I will say, looking at your book, it's very, what I like about it is backed up by a lot of facts. And to me, I think that's important. I think too many people kind of jump to conclusions, you know, about things.
Yes. Yeah, I think when people publish books on things like Freemasonry, or, you know, the publishers get involved and say, oh, you know, you're going to make it really epic and controversial, you know, try and make a few leaps or something like that, you know, to obviously build up the audience, you know. With my work, it was originally a PhD anyway, and during the PhD process, it was examined by two people at the end. One was a Cambridge professor, and that was my external examiner, and another examiner, an internal one, was also a very eminent historian, and they both liked the way that it was slightly abstract, in the way that it was split up into different chapters that discussed various things, you know, throughout the 18th century, and it wasn't just going on about Freemasonry; it was bringing into play the other social events as well, you know, and linking things together, and so, you know, they quite liked that aspect of it, and as well, they both saw it as a popular work published by a popular publisher, rather than like an academic work. Obviously because of the topic, the subject matter was you know, very popular anyway. And so hence, after doing the PhD, I was approached by Lewis Masonic, and they were interested, and we just went for it, you know. So it's quite good the way it worked out, really.
You know, and I just, a lot of our listeners are very much on a path to enlightenment. And David, how is Masonry, Freemasonry, connected to the path to enlightenment?
Well, I think the whole process of Freemasonry, the ritual, what we mentioned before about the 3 degrees and in various other orders, like the Scottish Rite, where there's 33 degrees, it's all about the path to enlightenment, really. It's about that self-enlightenment, that self-awareness, developing your own spirituality, really. Like, for example, Freemasonry, I mentioned before that they don't talk about religion in the actual lodge, and they don't mention a god as such. You've got to believe in God to join. But basically, they call the God the Grand Architect. So, and it's open to all religions as well, you know. So it's probably one of the few societies where, you know, Christians, Muslims, Jews, Sikhs, Hindus, you know, can meet. Buddhists as well, you know, any religion can meet. And they can actually get on because you kind of leave your own religious views outside the door, you know, outside the door of the lodge. So for that aspect of things, it's supposed to be a harmonious place, you know. It's supposed to be a space, a sacred space where people can exist in harmony with each other. Because if you think about it, most of the wars throughout history have been based on religion, of some kind, really. It's good in that respect. And also, it kind of improves one's view on life, morally and spiritually.
I think that that's really important, is when you're talking about community. To me, it's, you're talking about community, and it's gathering together of friends. And I think that, don't you think that in every group and every organization, you know, if you didn't have someone that was in charge, you would have total disaster. So, you know, I hear a lot about Freemasonry and how it's about control and you know, and don't you think that it's important to have structure?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's any group or organization, you know, has to have some form of leadership and some kind of structure. I think, again, you know, with these conspiracy theorists where they say, oh, it's about power and politicians and shady government people getting involved. And, you know, they're obviously kind of looking at the whole thing in a negative way, really. You're right. You know, it's got to have a structure, and also as well, Freemasonry reflects the culture of the country. Like, for example, English Freemasonry is different from Scottish Freemasonry, and slightly, you know, and different from Irish Freemasonry, or. And indeed, in the United States, where it's they have a Grand Lodge in every state, really. It's you know, there's always slightly different things going on. It's good for that as well, I think. You know, it can be so different but so similar, you know.
And you know, I just really would love to have you back on this show sometime. I know you said you're writing another book, and to talk to you about this, I'll talk to you a little bit more. I have several people that have sent me messages, and so maybe we could get you back on the show in a few weeks and talk, because there's so much. Your book is a wonderful book. David. David Harrison, thank you. God bless you. The Genesis of Freemasonry. You got to pick this book up. It's a wonderful book. It's really the truth. If you're wanting to know more about it, again, the Genesis of Freemasonry. David, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks a lot.
Have a blessed day. Thank you. And if anybody is just tuning in, you're listening to Interviews, and I'm Kimberly Rose. Our time's up. Our hour's already done. I want to just invite you to join me weekly from 4 to 5 Eastern Standard Time on BBS Radio. And also, you can check out my website, kimmyrose.com. Until then, bless you, peace, and have a wonderful day. I'm Kimmy Rose.